Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. This is a special program today, Christmas music. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites funtrivia.com and icebreakerideas.com. Question number one. The melody of this carol dates from the latter half of the 16th century, is one of the most beloved English folk ballads. It has sometimes been wrongly attributed to Henry VIII and is mentioned in Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. So what's the name of this carol? Is it A, What Child Is This? B, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen? C, Silent Night? Or D, Good King Wenceslas, English folk tune from the late 1500s. And question number two, what Bing Crosby song is the best-selling single ever? Is it A, Meli Kalikimaka? Is it B, Catch a Falling Star? C, The Ballad of Davy Crockett? D, Stardust? Or E, None of the Above? Best-selling single ever. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Today's transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of December 19th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1970, that Elvis Presley went to the White House to volunteer his services to U.S. President Nixon on fighting the nation's drug problems. He gave Nixon a chrome-plated Colt 45, and the president gave Elvis a Narcotics Bureau badge. 1970, today. And it was 29 years ago today, 1996, that Tony Bennett was rushed to a hospital for an emergency operation for an erupted hernia. Bennett was just arriving at the White House for a holiday dinner with U.S. President and Mrs. Clinton when he fell ill. And that was today, back in 1996.
Bells will be ringing, the glad, glad news. But oh, what a Christmas when you have the blues. 'Cause my baby's gone, and I have no friends to wish me greetings once again.
Willie Nelson's Please Come Home for Christmas introduces our country holiday music. It's a review in AllMusic.com of the album A Very Special Acoustic Christmas. In the dense annual blizzard of holiday albums, A Very Special Acoustic Christmas shines like a gleaming treetop star from a warm, inviting living room, thanks to its organic, no-frills approach and its remarkable lineup of performers. Willie Nelson lends his legendary voice and guitar to a fine take on Please Come Home for Christmas. while Alison Krauss coordinates and contributes her surprisingly poppy Only You Can Bring Me Cheer, Gentleman's Lady. Bringing the Yuletide album to an appropriate close is Nora Jones in a beautiful solo rendition of Horace Silver's Peace. Please Come Home for Christmas was written in 1960 and released the same year by American blues singer and pianist Charles Brown, hitting the Billboard Hot 100 chart in December 1961. The tune, which Brown co-wrote with Gene Reed, peaked at number 76. It appeared on the Christmas singles chart for 9 seasons, hitting number 1 in 1972.
And I'll be happy once again.
Martini performing the Ukrainian song Shedrick introduces our classical music news. It's entitled Carol of the Bells Wasn't Originally a Christmas Song. This is written by B.J. Almond, riceuniversity.edu, on the 13th of December, 2004. Although Carol of the Bells has become a popular tune during the holidays, the original lyrics had nothing to do with Christmas. The song, with a haunting four-note melody, was originally a Ukrainian folk song written as a winter well-wishing song, said Anthony Potoziniak, a Rice University anthropology graduate student who is studying the song's history. Written in 1916 by Ukrainian composer Mykola Leontovich and titled Shedrick, the song tells the tale of a swallow flying into a household to proclaim the plentiful year that the family will have. The song's title is derived from the Ukrainian word for bountiful. The swallow is a herald of spring coming, Potoniak said, referring to its possible pre-Christian origins. The original lyrics describe the swallow calling out to the master of the home and telling him about all the warmth that he will possess, healthy livestock, money, and a beautiful wife. For a Christmas concert, a choir director commissioned Leontovich to write a song based on Ukrainian folk melodies, using the four notes and original folk lyrics of a well-wishing song he found in an anthology of Ukrainian folk melodies, Leontovich created a completely new work for choir. Shedrick was one of many well-wishing tunes sung in many Ukrainian villages on January 13th, New Year's Eve on the Julian calendar, usually by adolescent girls going house to house in celebration of the new year. The Ukrainian National Chorus did not limit its performances of Shedrick to the Julian New Year, and the song became popular in other parts of the world as the choir introduced it to other nationalities, including the United States, where they first performed the song to a sold-out audience in Carnegie Hall, October 5, 1921. When American choir director and arranger Peter Wolewski heard Leontovich's choral work, it reminded him of bells, so he wrote new lyrics to convey that imagery for his choir. He copyrighted the new lyrics in 1936 and also published the song, despite the fact that the work was published almost two decades earlier in Soviet Ukraine. In the late 1930s, several choirs that Wolewski directed began performing the anglicized arrangement during the Christmas holiday season. Now called Carol of the Bells, the song has become associated with Christmas because of its new lyrics. Despite the song's ubiquitous presence during the holidays in the West, Shedrick remains less popular in its country of origin, where songs like it are still performed on the eve of the Julian New Year in January.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y feliz.
Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad introduces our Latin pop music news. It's entitled The 50th Anniversary of Feliz Navidad, the simplest song ever written. Jose Feliciano looks back on the 19-word Christmas song, which he wrote in 10 minutes and recorded in a single take. This article's written by Michael Schulman, published on the 21st of December 2020 in The New Yorker. Writing a Christmas hit can be a mind-blowingly lucrative and also a little annoying. Johnny Marks, who made millions from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, griped in his later years, "This is not exactly what I'd hoped to be remembered for." Too bad. Rudolph was in the headline of his Times obituary. Jose Feliciano has no ambivalence about Feliz Navidad, his bilingual earworm from 1970. He is celebrating its 50th anniversary with a live stream concert, a children's book, a line of branded teddy bears, and a re-recording featuring artists such as Lin-Manuel Miranda and Michael Bolton. "I'm probably going to hear a lot of ka-ching," he said recently.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Feliciano, who was born blind, is 75, diminutive, and a punster. Susan, his wife, guided him to a red barn where he has a recording studio festooned with gold records and guitars, and he sank into an armchair. His first memories of Navidad are from his childhood in Puerto Rico. "We had no septic tanks or anything," he recalled. Now, when you're blind, you'd better have a sense of humor because you get a lot of jerks in your path, he went on. Like, "What's the matter with you? You blind or something?" "Yeah, what's your excuse?" His family moved to Spanish Harlem when he was 5, and he left home at 18 to make it as a singer in Greenwich Village. In 1968, he released his hit cover of Light My Fire, and caused a firestorm by putting a folksy spin on the Star-Spangled Banner at the World Series. One day in 1970, he and his producer were planning a holiday album. Its producer said, "Jose, I think it's time for a new Christmas song." He wrote Feliz Navidad in 10 minutes. "That's why it's the simplest song ever written," he said. 19 words to it, 6 in Spanish, Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad, and 13 in English, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart, repeated ad nauseum. I wanted a song that belonged to the masses, he recalled. He recorded it at RCA Studios on Sunset Boulevard in a single take.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Dixon and Blixen and all his reindeers pulling on the reins.
Gene Autry's Here Comes Santa Claus introduces our music research and technology. It's an article titled, "This is How Santa Claus Can Deliver Presents to the Entire World in One Night." This is published in Forbes.com on the 23rd of December, 2018, by Ethan Siegel. How does Santa Claus do it? In one long night, a stout and elderly man, equipped with a magic sleigh and 8 flying reindeer, delivers toys to children in every household all over the world. The only catch? They have to believe in him. You have to wonder if this could physically be possible. If he had the right technology and technique, could Santa Claus actually make all of these deliveries? With the world's population now in excess of 7 billion people, it's a tougher job than ever for Santa Claus. But with the power of science and maybe a little Christmas magic, Santa is more than up for the challenge.
Fill your hearts with Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Now, even though that adds up to a whole lot of visits and an awful lot of distance to travel, Santa doesn't have a whole lot of time to get everything accomplished. Due to time zones, the international dateline, and the variations in sunset-sunrise times between locations and latitudes, Santa winds up with a maximum of 42 hours to hit those 500 million households. In that brief time, Santa has to accomplish the following tasks. Travel to each house, a mean distance of 0.2 miles, by the way. From the previous house, depart his sleigh and enter the house undetected. Deliver all the presents, eat any snacks left for him, and then leave the house undetected. Mount the sleigh and head for the next house. That means Santa has a total of just 300 microseconds to accomplish everything he needs to accomplish per household. Sound impossible? Well, maybe for a normal human with conventional technology, sure. But Santa may just be the world's greatest scientist. And if you accept science, you should have faith in Santa, too. Santa isn't doomed by constraints. He simply needs to implement the right workaround. All he needs to survive this journey at these high speeds and accelerations is a way to keep his blood flowing normally through the body. A sufficiently pressurized suit combined with a biological turbine system that's far more powerful than a human heart could easily do it. Sure, biological modification isn't what you think of when you think of Santa, but surely the happiness of children all over the world is worth a little organ replacement surgery? Billy Mack, the character played by Bill Nighy in the movie Love Actually, introduces our rock holiday music with his singing of Christmas is All Around. The merriest movie years ever. Maureen Lee Lenker in Entertainment Weekly, December 2020. Jeremy Arnold, author of the TCM book Christmas in the Movies, 30 Classics to Celebrate the Season, reveals why 1947 and 2003 were prime years for Yuletide films. Films about the holiday season deck the halls perennially, but some years catch a Christmas magic in a bottle. Two in particular top the cinematic tree, 1947 and 2003. The former, according to author and film historian Jeremy Arnold, marks the rare year in which holiday film was in theaters essentially year-round. The James Stewart vehicle, It's a Wonderful Life, entered wide release in January 1947, followed by the premieres of It Happened on Fifth Avenue in April, Miracle on 34th Street in June, and The Bishop's Wife in December. Then there's 2003, when a trio of modern classics, Elf, Love Actually, and Bad Santa, all of which were released in November, made their debuts. Why were these years a breeding ground for holiday chestnuts? The answer is far from festive. They come on the heels of the year-long trauma of World War II and the tragedy of 9/11, respectively. If you look at it just through the prism of family, World War II was a time where families were being torn apart, says Arnold. Post-World War II was a time of families rebuilding. This led to Hollywood starting to treat Christmas time as representing the family unit. Just about every Christmas movie has to do with family dysfunction or reconciliation. The family coming back together. Love Actually, the song playing in the background now, references the events of 9/11 in its opening narration, and director Jean Favreau reclaims a happier vision of New York City and Elf. There are no such good intentions in Bad Santa, far more determined to put the ho in ho, ho, ho. Could the ordeal of COVID-19 precipitate another banner year for cinematic Christmas cheer? A lot of people cannot go home for the holidays this year, Arnold reflects. I wouldn't be surprised at all if in a year or two, or three, we get another glut of Christmas movies. Well, we do need a little Christmas.
Let it show.
So, how did you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the melody of this carol dates from the latter half of the 16th century and is one of the most beloved English folk ballads. It has sometimes been wrongly attributed to Henry VIII and is mentioned in Shakespeare's The Merry Wives of Windsor. So what's its name? Is it A, What Child Is This? B, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, C, Silent Night, or D, Good King Wenceslas? And the correct answer, answer A, What Child Is This? As noted in FunTrivia.com, the melody of Green Sleeves, of which there are several variants, began as a dance tune which came to England via Italy around 1550, after the death of Henry VIII. And is one of several such melodies which were improvised over the standard bass line known as the Passamezzo Antico. This was a very slow and stately dance and is referred to in Act 5 of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. The lyrics of Greensleeves first appeared around 1584. The lyrics are a plea from a nobleman who has been spurned by his mistress, despite having lavished numerous gifts on her. It was one of the most popular songs of its time and is mentioned by Falstaff in the final scenes of The Merry Wives of Windsor. Let the sky rain potatoes, let it thunder to the tune of Greensleeves. Alternate lyrics began to appear for the tune as early as the late 1500s, including the New Year's text, "The old year now away has fled." What Child Is This was written in the 19th century by the English lyricist Edward Chatterton Dix, and has since become, somewhat ironically, much more popular in America than in England. And the answer to question two, what Bing Crosby song is the best-selling single ever? Is that A, Melikalikimaka? Is it B, Catch a Falling Star? Is it C, The Ballad of Davy Crockett? Is it D, Stardust? Or E, None of the Above? Correct answer, answer E, None of the Above. As noted in IcebreakerIdeas.com, White Christmas is the Bing Crosby best-selling single ever. The Guinness Book of Records has named White Christmas as not only the best-selling Christmas song of all time, but also the best-selling single generally of all time, with an estimated 50 million copies sold. So, let's close out today's special holiday program with, what else? A special holiday song. The Christmas Song, also known as Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, was written by 19-year-old Mel Torme and 22-year-old Bob Wells. Torme and Wells, who were both of Jewish descent but hailed from opposite coast, hit it off and decided to try their luck as a writing team. The young duo would ultimately co-write over 200 songs.
On one hot summer afternoon, Torme noticed a spiral pad with a few lines penciled on it in Wells' home. He looked down at the words, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. "Hey, what's this?" inquired Torme. Wells explained, "I was just so hot today. Cold drinks, a cold shower, couldn't get comfortable. Then I had a thought. Maybe if I sat and wrote some wintry verses, I could cool myself down, you know, mentally." Torme and Wells sat down and began expanding on the initial four lines. 45 minutes later, the Christmas song was fully written. The song's lyrics not only suggest that many of us are, in essence, grown-up children, but also puts forward the idea that one can and should feel the innocence and wonder of youth when it comes to enjoying the magic of holiday season. It continues to be identified as a personal favorite holiday recording far into the 21st century. It was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1974, as well as being selected for preservation by the Library of Congress. It was also one of the first songs to be inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. As the song's timeless melody floats along, the power of music to bring people together and transcend class, race, historical, and other cultural differences is clear for all to see. Now established as an indispensable part of the holidays, the song will no doubt continue not only to delight, but to benefit each new generation that discovers it.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh areas since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.